appreciate your prayers for one another and your prayers for me. I seek in the Lord's face during the course of the week as to what to bring for a message from the Lord's Word today. You know, what is it? What is it, Lord, that you would have me to bring? The Lord laid a couple of different passages on my heart and during the course of the week, and in both of those passages in the scripture, what was being talked about, Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, that passage the Lord laid upon my heart there in the book of Daniel, it was speaking about he being weighed in the balance and being weighed in the balance and found wanting. And of course, he's a man not saved. Many things were declared unto him by Brother Daniel there about the Lord's working with Nebuchadnezzar, and that his grandson Belshazzar knew those things. And the issue there was the truth. And then the Lord laid upon my heart here in John chapter 8, which is what I'm going to be preaching from this morning, in John, the Gospel of John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I want to preach a message this morning that I've entitled, "There's No Substitute for the Truth." There is no substitute for the truth. And we need the truth. We need the truth. Our world needs the truth. Every individual needs the truth. And may the Lord help us to see the importance of this. In this chapter, in the beginning of this chapter, in the first 11 verses, we have this account about the woman that was taken in adultery, and it was a sinister device. She was guilty of what she was guilty of, but so was the man that was there with her. But those that took her in the midst of this adultery, in the very act, as they declared, were not honest in what they did. And they looked to leverage our Lord Jesus with Moses and the law that had been given. And some just to highlight passages here and what the was said in this these events of these first 11 verses. In verse number 6, "And they said, tempting Jesus, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not." And we've asked that question. If you've ever looked at this passage and considered this passage, you've wondered, what was it that he was writing? And I am more convinced. I don't have anything to guarantee you that this was the case, but I believe that the Lord was writing indeed the Word of God. He was writing about those things as they had referred to what Moses had commanded. And it goes on to say in verse 7, "So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin amongst you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground." And so what the Lord does with these in this situation is he looks to bring out the truth. He looks to bring out the truth. Verse number 10, as this band disperses, they were all found guilty in their consciences, from the oldest unto the least. They had not been upright in only taking the woman. They had not brought the man. They had not followed the law and the Word of God. They had another motive other than being honest with the Word of God and the law that they had been given. And so they disband, and it's the woman and Jesus left there. In verse number 10, "When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers in this thing of taking you to death? Where are they? Has no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee in this matter." I don't condemn thee in this matter. "Go and sin no more." And so he does deal with the situation of her sin, her disobedience in that, but he looked for truth and applied mercy and compassion, and I believe in this, saved this woman. It goes on to tell us, and the Lord Jesus tells us in verse number 12 of this chapter, that he speaks and saying that he is the light. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And you know, that is the truth. Without that truth, there is no help or hope for the sinner, is there? But with that truth, understanding that Jesus is the light, he is the light that we need, one can be brought to not walk in darkness, indeed. And that is so, so true. To see, you and I know that we need light. And Jesus is the light that we need to see spiritual and eternal things, to see all things indeed. And then in verses 13 through 27 in this chapter, they wrangle with the Lord about witness and judgment, and they falsely accuse him. They don't want to believe. They don't receive the testimony that he gives of himself. They will not believe Jesus' testimony. He witnesses of himself, his witness of himself. He tells them that they are also found not believing the testimony of his father, the Father, regarding Jesus. And so they challenge him about his authority and who he is, and that they hate him. And he says, well, you're not believing my testimony, nor are you believing that of the Father. And he brings the statements of the law in there. Jesus confirms to them that their judgment is not heavenly, but earthly. It is not true according to what God has given in his word. And therefore, they have, are, and will miss him, because they don't want the truth. They are not following the Lord and what he has given in his word. He tells them that they are not using or obeying the law or the word of God that they have in their hands. He says in verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, the declaration of God from the beginning, I am. And he says, if you don't believe that I am he, I'm the one that is sent, I'm the only begotten of the Father, I'm the Savior of the world, I'm the Messiah, the Redeemer. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And listen, listen to these that are there and how they don't deal with the truth. They don't deal with the word of God that they have been given. Listen, they claim the Father, but they do not recognize his Son. They claim the Father, but they can't even tell that Jesus is God's Son. And then in verses 28 through 30, Jesus declares why he came. And he says in verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, that is, crucify him, that's what he is alluding to there. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. So the Lord Jesus tells why he came, and that he will be crucified for the sins of his people. He will be crucified and give his life a ransom for many. He will shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of sinners, for the forgiveness of his people. And in this we see that it pleases the Father that the Son has come to be lifted up. And that is the truth. That's the truth that all of us, that everyone in this world needs. And then we come to our text here in verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. There's a contingent there that it says believe on him. And it is the word in the Greek that we might understand the parallel and the usage of the word. It is that word believe. But it seems with many that are here, it's a vain belief. It's an empty belief. It's not a belief in Jesus, in the truth, because he challenges them with this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A corollary, a connection, a cause and effect is revealed here by our Lord. His word causes one to know his truth. And without his word, we will not know his truth. His truth is the truth, the truth that we all need. Jesus prays for his disciples in the day of his ministry and for us there in John 17, verse 17. And the Lord declares there in his prayer unto the Father, sanctify them, that is our children. Sanctify your children, my children, the one that you sent me to save. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. His truth, the Lord's truth, which is the truth, makes sinners free. And understand that there's a difference between being set free and being made free. There's a difference, and I have often misquoted this passage, and it's a subtle thing, and then the English language being dynamic as it is, we use words and mean another thing. I'm guilty of that so much. But if one is set free, they might be captured again. They might be recaptured if they're set free. But if one is made free by our Lord, then they are free indeed, free eternally. And understand this in the corollary, the Lord's word is the truth. It is his truth. It is the truth. He establishes such by his word and giving it unto us that we might know it, that we might understand it, that we might live it, that we might apply it. So you know what that makes everything else? Everything else is a lie. And what do we see in this? If the truth makes us free, makes folks free, then everything else, lies, makes one bound, doesn't it? It brings folks, brings us into bondage. We see that there's some folks there that are greatly offended at the Lord's word. He tells them, he says, if you follow in my word, then it'll be proven that you're my disciples indeed. And then following in that word, you'll be made free. There's those that are greatly offended, as is evidenced in John 8, verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? It's almost laughable that they would declare such a thing as they did. I mean, it's really, to know if you know anything about the Bible, it's laughable that they would even take that position. I mean, it's ridiculous, really. They've never been free, never been in bondage, right? Other than the Egyptians. They've never been in bondage other than the Assyrians. They've never been in bondage other than the Babylonians. They've never been in bondage other than the sorry kings that they had in Israel and in Judah. They've never been in bondage other than to the Greeks. They've never been in bondage other than at this time under Rome. Bondage and blindness abounds without the truth. And the greatest bondage indeed is the bondage of sin. See, Jesus takes them on further from this truth about they claiming that they believe in him and they have a superficial belief. I think that we could describe that as they believe about him, but they don't believe in him personally and effectually to the saving of their soul. They are not convicted by him, it seems. But the Lord reveals in verse number 34 that the greatest bondage is the bondage of sin. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Servant, being in bondage, being bound by such. And listen to what he declares. Another contrast and another corollary, a connection that we need to see. This greatest bondage is the bondage of sin that is experienced by every son, every child of Adam. And listen to what the Lord says. He says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. He takes a contrast of those that are servants of sin and how it is with servants. They don't live in the house. Oh, they serve in the house. They work in the house. They're subjects of the house. But the son, the firstborn of many brethren, he abides in the house forever. However, he says, servants do not live in the house, and the servants of sin will not live with the Lord. But the child does. And isn't that interesting how it is, the Lord saving our souls and making us his own and convicting of us of our sins and bringing the gospel into us. What is it that we are called? The children of God. We belong. We belong there in the house with the Lord. But he said, servants of sin, they don't belong in the house. They abide not in the house forever. They don't live on the earth forever. What is it that's promised us? A new heaven and a new earth that we will live, or wherein dwelleth righteousness, will live with the Lord forever. Servants do not live in the house, in this example that the Lord gives, but the child does. Servants are not free. They're bound, aren't they? They are bound. But children, the children are free indeed. And listen to what the Lord declares in verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's what all of us need. When we are saved, that's what we have. Being made free, not set free, but made free by our Lord. And that freedom is freedom indeed. This is the truth that every individual needs to receive and believe. As it says in Romans 10:17, familiar passage, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Word of God is the truth, and it tells us what we need, and it reveals unto us our sin, our depravity, and our need of the Son. This is how our Lord Jesus sets sinners free. In conclusion, in the connection to our lives and living and application to such, there is no substitute for the truth. There's no substitute for the truth. You can't bring something else in and say that it's the truth, make it pretend it to be the truth. And many, many do that. They try to do so, to make a new truth. How many times have we heard that in our culture, in our society? Listen, how much grief, chastisement do we bear as a society, a culture, and a nation because of the lack of believing the truth? How much? It's nigh unto endless, isn't it? From nations to states to communities to families and to the individual, how much sin, wickedness, pain, and suffering is brought upon us because we refuse to obey and operate in the truth of God. There's no substitute for the truth. No substitute at all. As Isaiah from the Lord writes regarding Judah and that which remains of Israel in his day, in Isaiah 59, verses 12 through 15, this is our plight in this day in which we live. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, Isaiah 59, 12, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. As for our iniquities, we know them. In trespassing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For, or because, truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. It can't get in the door. Equity cannot. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. For those that want to try to do right, for those that want to try to follow the Lord, they make themselves a target unto the nation, the society, the culture in which they live. Doesn't that describe our situation today? It does it not? And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. You know, it did in that in Israel's day, and it does in our day too. Listen, people are promiscuous because they refuse to obey the truth. Babies are killed because of the denial of the truth. Folks gamble because of the refusal of the truth. Politicians refuse to be statesmen because they deny the truth. We are experiencing an unprecedented type of bondage, are we not? Look at us this morning. We're experiencing an unprecedented type of bondage, are we not, in this COVID-19 affair? Because of the lack of finding and following the truth in the matter. There are those that are just faced with the truth of things and will not change their tack because they have a thirst for power and control. Marriages and families are destroyed because the truth is not sought and placed in the highest esteem. And sinners go to hell because they receive not the love of the truth. As it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12. And then shall that wicked be revealed, the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, telling us what will be his end will be, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. That lies ahead. We've been told what's going to happen there. And with all deceivable of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for someone to be saved, they must receive the love of the truth of God, the truth of God's word. It's the only way a person can be made free. And it's the only way that even the children of God can operate freely and to be at peace with our Lord. Not the lie, but the truth of our Lord. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. See what the opposite of truth is. Lies, 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 that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. No wonder it is that the writer of the book of Proverbs in this particular chapter in Proverbs 23:23, most likely Solomon, he declares, buy the truth and sell it not. Why? Because it's of the greatest value. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And Jesus saith unto him and verse John 14, verse number 6, listen to what the Lord declares in light of these passages we've looked at. Jesus declares unto those Philip and Thomas that are there in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In our text verse in John 8:31-32, the Lord says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. What will be the showing of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? They will look to and follow in what he has given us, in his word. Not lip service, not following in convenience, not putting it second or third or fourth place, but continuing in his word. Then it'll be proven that you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and in continuing in that word, ye shall know the truth by that word, and that truth, the truth, shall make you free. There's no substitute for the truth. And may our Lord help us that we be found in the truth, that we pursue the truth. When we follow after that which is not the truth, may we confess it before our Lord and turn from it and seek and to follow, seek his face that we might follow and operate in his truth. I leave you with this verse in 1 Timothy 3:15. This comes to us as a church. This comes to us as one of the Lord's churches in this day here in May 2020, right here in Logan County, Olmsted, Kentucky, where we meet. You and me, you and I, we that have been saved by the Lord and placed here at Olmsted Baptist Church. The apostle writes, our Lord gives us in 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We're the ones. We are the ones right here in this place here in Logan County to be that pillar and that prop of the truth of our Lord. There is no substitute for the truth. And may our Lord help us that we know that and follow that.